If you've listened to the show for any length of time, you know that I'm a big fan of connecting with locals when you're traveling someplace. If you're just going to be inside the tour bus, then you might as well stay home. The best parts of travel for me are when you get out into the marketplace or into the cafe where you meet the locals and have a chance to interact. If you're also looking to experience this, then check out Explore Worldwide, whose local tour leaders will get you off the beaten track and into the heart of the adventure, helping you get past being a tourist, experiencing local culture, and finding places you would not find by yourself. And isn't that what travel is all about? If you're thinking about your next adventure, head to exploreworldwide.com to find out more.
Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 785. Today, the Amateur Traveler takes a detour to a less traveled country as we talk about beaches and waterfalls and voodoo as we go to the country of Togo in West Africa. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Let's talk about Togo. I'd like to welcome the show, Philip Mouders, who has come to talk to us about Togo. Philip's website is journication.com, and there's a link to that in the show notes in case you have trouble with the pronunciation, but it's like journalism and vacation melded together. If you go to Philip's site, you can read it in both German and in English. Philip, welcome to the show.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
And obviously the reason why you can read it in German is that Philip is from Germany and actually coming to us from there now. But you're come to talk about Togo. What's your connection with Togo?
I was traveling, backpacking, actually in Togo more or less exactly 2 years ago. So end of 2016, before the pandemic hit us all, I was backpacking in this special region of the world. So I traveled from Ivory Coast through Ghana, Togo, up to Benin, where I joined some NGO organization who built schools over there. And one of the most interesting destinations on the journey was Togo, which I want to tell you more today.
Excellent. Well, Eddie, I think you put it on a map for us a little bit with its neighbors there. So we're talking about Western Africa, one of those thin little countries there in that part of the world. And why should someone go to Togo?
Togo surprised me as well. So it was for me in the beginning just a country to travel through quite quickly, coming from Ghana, heading to Benin. But I stayed there much longer than expected in the beginning. Togo is a very exciting country, a bit off the beaten track when you're traveling in Africa. So it's not the famous Tanzania safari place or South Africa where a lot of tourists go to. So when I was traveling there, you only met a few white people at all. It's not very touristy. And so it's a perfect destination for me to really enjoy local culture, not being influenced by any touristic background. So I don't like the feeling when I visit a place and I feel like everyone is just role-playing tourists, not living their real life. And this is what I did not encounter in Togo. Additionally, they have a beautiful coastline. So the whole coast in Western Africa is beautiful palm beaches, mm-hmm. white sand. Unfortunately, sometimes it's a little bit dangerous to swim there. So you have to avoid the strong currents and swim where you can see locals, because normally they know what to do and how to do. It's also a great place for hiking when you leave the coast, going up a little bit north into the center of the country. And personally, for me, it was a very, very nice place to learn about exciting history, some big parts of sad history, because this was one of the big areas where all the slaves came from over many centuries. So this coastline is called the slavery coast, including Ghana, Togo, and Benin, where you had big slave castles along the coastline and where the colonial powers got a lot of slaves from, shipping them all over the world. This parts of said history you can also encounter in these countries. So for me personally, very exciting and a very nice place to travel to.
Excellent. In terms of itinerary, what are you going to recommend for us?
So I started crossing the border from Ghana along the coastline, so where you have the main big roads in West Africa. So they are along the coast. All the capitals, all the big cities are normally along the coast. And as soon as you leave the coast, heading to the center of the countries, it's getting even less touristy, less populated, mm-hmm. and so on. So I crossed the border from Ghana, and right on the border, there's already the Togolese capital, which is Lomé. And I stayed there for a few days, visiting the most attractive points within the city, where I want to tell you and the audience more about a little later. Then I headed to the center, which is there, to a very nice city called Kapalimé. It's located in beautiful mountains, green area, beautiful paradise for doing some hiking and nature activities. They'll have a lot of beautiful waterfalls over there. And heading to Benin, which is east of Togo, cross Akpo-Drafo on Lake Togo. There is a big lake within the country, the Togo Lake or Lake Togo. On the other shore of the lake, you can visit Togoville, which is a very nice place to experience colonial history, especially for me as a German. It's a pretty interesting place because Togo was one of the colonial countries of Germany back in the days. We did not have much colonies, but Togo was one of them. And in Togoville, there is a lot of history to experience in terms of this colonial history, and also some nice voodoo places where I also want to talk about a little more later.
Excellent. You mentioned the coastline before we get very far along. When we talk about the coastline of Togo, we're talking about maybe 30, 40 miles. There's not a lot of coastline there. It's a tall, thin country.
Yeah, it is. You can travel quite fastly through Togo if you don't want to stay there right. a lot of time. So I was expecting to do exactly that, but then, yeah, stayed for more than 1 week in this beautiful country.
Well, and let's talk about Lomé. What do you recommend we see or do in Lomé?
In the beginning, I was, as I mentioned, not expecting much. Right. Because if you Google things to do in Lomé or the typical online research you would do before visiting a country or a city, there is not much mentioned in terms of the big sites, the big highlights. So for me, it was more diving into the culture of the country. So the big places I would recommend is visiting the Grand Marché, translated the big market. There are a lot of French names, or a lot of sites are having the French name, which is still today the official language of the country. So after First World War, when Germany lost the war, big parts of the country were handed over to France, and they set up more French colonies in this area. So basically whole Western Africa is speaking French. That's the main language there, which makes it, I think, sometimes a little bit difficult for travelers if you are not fluent in French, And even if you are fluent in French and then you have this Western African dialect, it's sometimes a little bit challenging to go along. So a very nice paradise in the area is Ghana, where you have English as the official language, which makes it more relaxed. This is the reason why a lot of countries there have some connection with France and having these French names. So I was recommending the Grand Marché, so the big market, which is located in the city center. So they have an indoor and an outdoor market. When you look at the maps and look for some specific spot to visit, I think you will be directed to the indoor market, which is in a several-story building. But all around in all the streets, you have this bustling African market with the local products. There is nothing set up for tourists. It's all real. These are all real people selling their fruits, their handicraft, their clothes, whatever, on the streets. A lot of people are over there, a lot of voices. And for me personally, this is really exciting. Just go there and explore all the different stalls. What are people selling? How does it look like? You can buy the fresh fruit, all these nice products from the area.
Anything particularly stand out that you either bought there or took pictures of or were attracted to?
I bought definitely fresh fruit. So mangoes are something nice to buy there. And I bought another souvenir on another market I want to tell you in a minute. So basically there are a lot of wooden handicrafts and so on. It feels a little bit strange walking there in this bustling market area, being the only white guy, but that's something I really like because that was obviously off the beaten track. So there were no tourist buses,
I've had that experience where you're in the market and I was in a group and one of the members of the group got separated, but he just walked through the market and people went, this was Tanzania, and they're saying, Wazungu, the white guys went that way.
Muzungu, Muzungu. Ah, exactly. The white guy. So it's not something they want to, I don't know, blame you for something, but it's just a word for you. Sure. And yeah, you hear it everywhere, Muzungu, Muzungu, when you're walking on the street. So after a few days of West Africa, before I was already used to it, yeah, that was all right. Right in the center of the Grand Marché, there's the Lomé Cathedral, which was built in German colonial times. So it was a very nice picture spot, even for taking a real picture, or at least for you having this picture in your mind, having this bustling African market with all its colors and people around. And then you have this two tower cathedral in white and red, which is looking like it could be somewhere in the US or in a normal German small city, which does not look very African. It's German built around, I think, 1902. It was finished and inaugurated. Also, the cathedral is nice to visit. Just spent there a few minutes and it feels a little strange having this Western culture within this heart of Africa. More places to visit in the city center are the Palais de Congrès, which is a museum today. There are some more Western African museums in this area, and also the Monument of Independence, which is also located in the city center. This is a monument for the independence of colonial France in 1960. These are, for me, the most attractive sites. But one site in the city center stands out a bit, which is the Fetish Market, which is the biggest, or at least one of the biggest, voodoo markets worldwide. It sounds a bit strange.
It does.
My surprise when I did some research before I traveled to West Africa, because, of course, we all connect voodoo with this bad movie or a thriller movie, dark religion, puppets, sticking some needles into some puppets when we hear voodoo. But in this region, and in particular in Togo and Benin, voodoo is the official religion. It's not a bad religion. It has this dark parts as well, but it's mostly a positive religion. It's based a lot of nature and animals. So it's officially their religion along to other religions and Christianity. And they have a huge, huge, huge market in Lomé with all voodoo artifacts. When you go there, it's also a very strange view because you see a lot of animal parts You see skulls of all animals you can imagine. You see bones. You see dried whole animals. So there were some monkeys, dead monkeys, dried, and with all the fur and teeth and everything sitting there. You had the skin of a snake. You had teeth of animals. You had insects, whatever. So a lot of selling stalls having this animal parts everywhere. And this is because it's kind of a, I would call it a pharmacy for the people there, because the voodoo priest recommends some animal parts to buy because of their special ceremony. So whatever your disease or problem is, they have a special ceremony, a voodoo ceremony, which is based on normally on animal parts, I would say.
And then, well, and I feel like you're leading up to the, this is the market where you bought a souvenir, and I am almost dreading what you're going to tell us you bought.
Yeah, true. So the people are sent there, and for example, for a certain disease, you need the tooth of a buffalo, which is included in the ceremony to progress your healing. Then you go to this market and buy a tooth of a buffalo, or a horn, or a skull, or whatever part you need. So they have everything there. It's really astonishing and exotic. I have never seen a place like this before. So there are no fruits on the market, or no apples or something like this. It's just bones and skulls and animal fur and whatever, and a lot of artifacts. And I bought a small artifact. They introduced me to some of the voodoo magic. It was a very thin, I would say, tube out of wood, and then attached to this small tube out of wood, just a few centimeters, there was a string and a sharp wooden stick. And they told me, okay, this protects you during your next travels and activate this fetish. So they call these small devices fetish. And this is the reason why this market is called fetish market. So these are all voodoo fetishes, also the animal parts. To activate this small fetish, I should, before I start my journey, stick this small wooden stick into this wooden tube and then leave it like this, carry it with me during my journey. And when I come home safely, because I'm protected by this charm, by this magic, when I return home, I just release the stick from this tube. So that was what they told me. You can believe it or not.
Well, and you were now home safe. So, well, there we go.
Definitely. Yeah. So that was, I think, in all the countries I traveled to through and for all the souvenirs I bought so far, that was the most exotic one, definitely. So bought on this voodoo market in Lomé in Togo. Within Togo and also in the neighbor country, Benin, you have a lot of voodoo temples, a lot of cultural places where you can experience this, for us, very exotic religion and traditions.
Well, you were saying there was no fruit in the market and no apples was the one you mentioned particularly. And I'm thinking, well, because in Togo, the saying is probably, you know, a monkey skull a day keeps the doctor away or something.
Definitely, yeah.
A little different tradition.
Yeah, kind of. So if you want to have the apples and the fruits, head to the marché. And then, you will find all this regular stuff there as well. Going from one place to the other in Togo, the regular vehicle you will choose or you will find are moto taxis. So very often you just jump on the back of some motorcycle which drives you through the city. Of course, there are taxis, but the regular way to travel are these motorcycles, moto taxis.
Especially as a solo traveler.
Yeah, as a solo traveler, it's the way of travel you can choose. Of course, it feels a little bit dangerous going on the back of an African motorcycle through the tight traffic. But of course, it's way faster than waiting somewhere in a traffic jam. But if you travel along the big roads on the coast, taxis are also quite common. But they get lots more people into a normal car than we are used to it.
Sure.
Normally, I think the normal passenger number in a West African taxi are maybe 6 people in a normal small car. So you are at least with 2 people on the seat next to the driver. I'm a slim guy, so that's no big issue. But if you're sitting there with four people on the rear with the big African guys and the mamas, it's an experience, definitely. Sometimes the motorcycle is way more convenient. But of course, it's something I would not particularly tell my mother, that I'm on the back of a African motorcycle driving very fastly through the city.
Wise.
A special place I would also recommend when you're visiting Togo or Lomé in particular is of course, the coastline. So mm-hmm. There are a lot of nice beaches, especially there. You have a lot of big hotels and also nice hotels. So if you're looking for a place where to stay in Lomé, I would, on the one hand side, prefer the city center because everything is quite close and you can walk around there in the local mm-hmm. neighborhoods. It's something what I really enjoy, just being able to walk there and without any big destination to look for, just see and explore.
Sure.
On the other hand, I would recommend to choose a hotel next to the beach because normally they have their private beaches or areas where everything is secured and maybe cleaned up a bit, that you can enjoy the palms and a nice beach.
Any particular beach that you really liked?
Yeah, I like the beach close to the hotel's name was New Robinson Plage. Plage is the French word for beach. They had a nice 3 or 4 star hotel over there, but also a hostel section with dorms. So you have a accommodation for all budgets, but it's the same place. It's the same breakfast.
Oh, nice.
I stayed there and one night in the city center as well. And from the beach hotel, I also walked along the coastline where you have this typical West African fisher boats.
Yeah.
Could just sit there and observe the fishermen getting their boats ready. And they did some painting. They repaired some nets.
As a photographer, those scenes are just so attractive to me.
Yeah, definitely. But you have to be careful. But sometimes they come to you and ask for money because you're taking pictures without permission. If you do so, I went there and asked whether I'm allowed to take some pictures. There were a lot of children playing around. So the romantic African scenes when you are thinking of a holiday over there. So if you're not being some aggressive and high-nose white tourist, it can be a very relaxing atmosphere and you're not disturbing the people. I was just sitting there and enjoying this African scene around me with the children, the fisher boats, the coast, the sea. So it was beautiful. So coastline is highly recommended.
I remember one time I was in an African market and I walked through a section. It was a craft section. I walked through very quickly and it felt uncomfortable because everybody wanted me to stop and look at their wares and such. And it was, it felt like it was pushy. And then I had more time because I was with a group and the group was slow. And so I walked through again the same section, but I walked through slowly, taking the time to look at people's wares and nod and wave or chat or what, depending on how much language we have in common. And it was an entirely different experience. It wasn't like it was that pushy. It's just my rhythm was wrong. I was not in tune with the rhythm of the local place. And when I was just taking time to go and take a look at things, they were really pushy. It wasn't them. I wasn't in tune with Africa.
Yeah. In many places I experienced that you name it quite correctly, like being in rhythm with this place. Mm-hmm. Some of the parts I traveled through in this Western African region, you have to have a lot of patience, for example, filling up buses. There is no tight bus schedule, for example, if you're using buses or taxis. They wait until the car is full and then they start. You have to be patient and wait for more people to come in, for example. But if you are not in a rush, it's beautiful places to experience. Another recommendation I want to give on Lomé is there is another big hotel, or I think one of the most expensive hotels in the city is the Hotel de Février, so the 2nd of February hotel. And from the rooftop bar, we have a beautiful view over the whole city. Can just go in there even if you're not a guest and having a drink and enjoy the views on the city. So that's also a very nice place. So you see the list of things to do or the beautiful or exciting things in Lomé is quite short. Okay. So this is for me a beautiful place to go where you don't have the stress of a long list of activities and attractions you have to tick off.
Well, and then you headed north into the country.
Yeah, then I headed north to Kpalime. As I mentioned, it's the opposite of the big capital city. It's a smaller city and everything is green. You have a lot of mountains. There are a lot of hiking trails, some quite high mountains. I think even the highest in Togo, where you have nice views to the neighboring countries because, as we mentioned, the country is not very broad. Right. You can have beautiful views into Ghana, into Togo or Togo Lake on the other side. And they have a lot of waterfalls in this area. So you can choose several trails where you can see these nice waterfalls over there. And especially when you come from the busy coastline of the West African countries, this is a nice stop to recharge your energy, just to be in the middle of, I would not say in the middle of nowhere, but at least in a way calmer place.
Sure.
Within nature. So that was really nice.
Any particular hike or waterfall you would recommend?
I did several.
Okay.
There were a lot of tours offered over there.
Okay.
It's quite easy to speak to the local people over there which one is the best for you depending on the duration.
And you were speaking in English, German, or French?
I was speaking in English wherever possible.
Okay.
Because this is the language I'm the most fluent in, apart from German. But sometimes it's very helpful to have some words in French available. Of course, it makes it a little bit difficult if you want to have like a guided tour where explanations are made during the tour in spoken language. But just to book a tour and ask a few general questions, I think a few words of French are okay. I think places like this become more and more famous and thus more and more open for English-speaking people.
Sure. Okay.
That's possible. It's very helpful, but it's not mandatory, I would say. Speaking about places where to stay, as I mentioned, two places in Lomé. For some of the cities I traveled through in West Africa, I choose couch surfing as the accommodation where to stay because I was traveling alone and I wanted to make some local contacts as well, because if you're traveling there and get some insights in local culture and habits, I prefer and what I like about backpacking and solo traveling. And yeah, I stayed there with a guy who, speaking from his own experience, was very famous on couch surfing with a lot of good ratings and nice comments. So I thought, yeah, that's the place to be. And he accepted my request. That was really awesome experience because he was a very down-to-earth guy who was fluent in English, which made communication quite good and easy. But he stayed also in an interesting area. So it was in the city center, not too far from the governmental buildings and so on. So the very center of official Togo, I would say, and also Lomé. But it was a very poor area.
Okay.
And he was living in kind of, we would describe it as a backyard with a few small one-story buildings where you could clearly see these are not rich people living here. So, and he had one room in this garden or backyard. Mm-hmm. He let me sleep in this one room, in this single room, and he stayed with his neighbor for that night. So I had at least one room for me, and there was no electricity or no constant electricity in this area. And no running water. So they had a fountain in the middle of the backyard. Uh-huh. And that was the main source for every water you needed in this, I would call it a small community. So there were a lot of people living there, some families, some old people, and everyone was getting the water from the fountain for cooking, for drinking, for washing, for the toilets, for the shower. So you had to get these buckets out of the fountain when you wanted to go to the toilet or having a shower or so on. I was not expecting this experience, so I did not book a rural hostel where you have no electricity or something. I just booked this a place to sleep with this high-rated guy, which of course was very nice and very friendly, and we had a very good time when I was stayed there. He helped me out a lot with all the planning and things to do in the city. But of course, that was also part of the experience when traveling through such a country and when traveling through Lomé. So that was also kind of eye-opening when you experience a country from this perspective and not only from nice beach hotels at the coastline. So
my first trip to Africa, I did some homestays because I was on a church-sponsored trip. And I came back and I told my wife, well, it was always comfortable. I had a hot shower every day. Of course, it was usually a bucket shower because, you know, again, there are so many regions in the area where, running water is just not there when you're in the rural communities. And that was a little past her comfort zone.
Yeah, definitely. But, so the whole trip in this region was, if you want to, you can do a lot at the edge of your comfort zone, I would say.
Well, and the other thing that people can do is if that sounded too far for people to do the couch surfing thing, you can still meet up with people often through couch surfing, even if you do the stay in the hostel or something like that. Yes. It can still be a wonderful opportunity to meet with locals who are interested in doing that. So,
yeah. So there was also an option for me. Of course, I had my host for most of the time, and Lomé was also a great place after the sightseeing during the day to have a cheap big beer in the evening. Yep. So they had a nice area in the city center where they had some music playing and so on, and they also closed down a small street for it. So it was officially closed down for traffic during the night or during the evening, and then they put out some stools and tables where people can sit down and maybe open some dance floor, and was basically in the middle of the street. That was amazing. So they also had some good nightlife opportunities.
Excellent.
The whole region, especially Togo and Benin, are comparably cheap when it comes to food and drinks. So
now, to get to Kapalame, one thing we didn't say is, did you fly or take a bus or...
You know, there were regular buses or taxis, I would say. So the normal cars used as taxis. I think the drive was about 2 hours.
And when you say taxi, typically a collective taxi at this point, not just you, but you and the big guy and the mama. And, the,
and five other guys.
Okay. Yeah.
So, of course, sometimes, especially on that particular trip, I was a little bit late in the morning because of lack of electricity in this area. Sometimes it seems a little bit, how to say, high-nosed, but I wanted to keep us going and heading to the north, and I didn't want to lose time. So I just paid 2 seats in this taxi because I didn't want to wait for more people to travel to this special place, I would say. So it was not the main road for the local people to go to, so it could have taken much more time that someone comes to the taxi and fills up the empty seat. And so I took 2 advantages out of it. So I paid 2 seats and made us start at once. And of course, I was buying the comfort of having my own seat in this taxi and not to share it next to the driver with another person.
Got it.
I don't remember the exact price of it, but...
But it fit into a backpacker budget, even buying 2 seats.
It was very cheap. Yeah, using the public transport over there is very, very cheap. So,
and you had one other spot on your itinerary, as I recall.
Yes, exactly. So heading east in the east direction out of Lomé along the coast towards Benin, and the next country would be Nigeria. There is the coastal town Akpo Trafo. And from there you have rural boat transfer, I would say, some kind of old canoes they use mostly for travelers to cross Lake Togo to this Togoville place, which is today still a small city. That was the place where I felt the most touristy, I would say, because it's not really for locals using this canoe-style boats. So that was, I think, more for tourists. And this spot is quite famous among tourists visiting Togoville. Yeah, but I did this crossing by wooden canoe to the other side of the lake. There you have official tour guides waiting there. Again, something for tourists. So there was not just exploring the streets on my own, but they advised me to do some official tour within the city. And because I had no idea and no information, I just paid the local guide or the price they recommended as a tip, because it was very helpful to have someone guiding you around and showing you all the secret spots, I would say, in a very directed way. They have a lot of German history over there, so like the old church and some governmental buildings and so on. You can still explore. They were built more than 100 years ago. The German left more than 100 years ago this area. There were still some nice spots visible when it comes to this history part of the city, but also liked the voodoo culture part of the city, because on some streets, on some spots, you can see some kind of statues, voodoo statues, some small shrines or some small temples. These small shrines or temples are especially built for the voodoo. It would be comparable to some saints, I would say, in Christianity. And some of the spots are against certain evil energies. There were some trees where you have the trees used as a voodoo spot. The trees are painted somehow with special color. And I think if you are witnessing ceremony over there, you would see the voodoo priest doing some rituals or some ceremony over there. So it's quite interesting to have this, on the one hand side, Western German / French colonial history. On the other side, this nice cultural experience of this, for us, totally unknown voodoo religion. Main sites, I would say, in Togo or in whole West Africa.
I think that kind of wraps up your itinerary. Are there other things that we need to know before we get to some of our wrap-up questions?
No, not in particular.
Okay. You are standing in the prettiest spot you saw in Togo. Where are you standing and what are you looking at?
The most beautiful spot in Togo for me was the coastline at Lomé, where you can see or experience the nice atmosphere and surroundings consisting of very nice sand, a beautiful ocean in front of you. You are under palm trees and observing the fishermen in their typical boats, children playing around, and there was a very nice experience. Yeah, I think the most beautiful things you can see over there.
Excellent. One thing that makes you laugh and say, only in Togo.
There was definitely the voodoo market, where they told me about their special religion and magic with my nice souvenir. I think there are more voodoo markets throughout these countries because, yeah, it's their official religion and they need their, I would say, pharmacies to buy their ceremonial animal parts. But the one in Lomé is particularly huge in comparison to the others. And there was a very exotic and, if you ask it like this, a funny place for me to experience.
Excellent. And if you had to summarize Togo in just three words, what three words would you use?
Exotic, voodoo, and market, I would say. Because the market sums up voodoo market as well as the huge, bustling Grand Marché, where you meet these nice people, the friendly people over there, and the huge variety of goods offered on such a market, which gives you a nice insight into culture and everyday life of the people.
Our guest again has been Philip Mouders from journication.com. And Philip, if we want to send people to your best post about Togo, where are we going to send them?
I would send you to the summarized post about my backpacking journey in the Western African region, which was from Ivory Coast via Ghana and Togo up to Benin. That is a nice summary, which includes all the spots I just mentioned and way more to inspire you for a trip to West Africa.
Excellent. Philip, thanks so much for coming on Amateur Traveler and sharing with us your love for West Africa and particularly for Togo.
Thanks for having me, Chris. It was very nice to talk to you.
Once again, I'd like to extend my thanks to the patrons of the show who help support Amateur Traveler financially. It certainly helps pay a lot of the basic bills of the podcast, including the editing. And this was an episode that took a little editing. So editing is something that I appreciate, and I think you should too. If you're interested in supporting the show, you can check out patreon.com/amateurtraveler for more information. I also appreciate those who take the time to review the show. And so on the Apple reviews, for instance, I recently found these two, one from CN Adventurer, great inspiration, wonderful podcast with a wealth of information about places I'm dreaming of visiting, as well as those I've never heard of. Thanks for all the great information. And from C Bus Reader, informative and enjoyable. As a new listener, I'm excited for a good resource for my own travels. I also really enjoy hearing about places I'll never visit myself, but I can dream. And I wonder if Togo, in fact, may be one of those places. Both of those were 5-star reviews. Thank you very much. And with that, we're going to end this episode of Amateur Traveler. If you have any questions, send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or better yet, leave a comment on this episode at amateurtraveler.com. And thanks so much for listening. I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more.